Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Wood, our speaker will be Dr. Gene Payne, pastor of Friendship Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. The title of his message is Encouragement in a Dark Day. The text is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7.
It's our great privilege to have preaching in chapel today and tomorrow Dr. Gene Payne from the Friendship Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Dr. Payne has been in the ministry for 46 years now. And when I was a young Christian many years ago in Atlanta, I used to listen to him preach. I followed his ministry for many years, and God has used him greatly. He's a graduate of Tennessee Temple University. He has a background in music. He has started a wonderful Christian school, a man who has the ministry at heart, an expositional Bible preacher that has preached through, I'm sure, the entire Bible, but recently 9 books of the Bible. He's a man who's blessed my heart often from the pulpit, and I know he'll be a great blessing to you here this week. Dr. Payne, you come and preach to us.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. It's a joy to be with you today. And I have a friend who I'm sure mentioned me to Dr. Bob. And Dr. Bob wrote me and asked me if I would come and speak in chapel. And I said, well, sure, I'll be glad to. I just regret that he is not there. We have students here. And of course, we've had many to graduate from Bob Jones University, and we thank God for this place. Now, you'd never realize that I was old until I tell you that I'm old. But years ago, I came to this campus. At that time, I looked at these beautiful lawns this morning. At that time, they were all red clay. There were no businesses out here on the Hampton something road out here. No businesses at all. And I came here at that time. And Dr. Bob was about 11 years of age. The bookkeeper was Lefty Johnson, and he knew the family that I was with. And Dr. Bob's hair was just as black could be. So that was a long time ago. But it's great to be with you. And preachers are wonderful. Brother Bob introducing me and telling about knowing me. It's been a joy to know him. But you know, preachers have some problems every once in a while. One problem that preachers have is this, that they just preach too long. They don't know when to quit. And I heard about a fellow like that. And he preached so long that actually toward the end of his sermon, what they thought was the end of his sermon, people just get up and leave. He didn't like that. And he said, I'm going to put a stop to this. So before he started his Sunday morning sermon, he said, this morning, I do not want anybody to leave until I have finished my sermon. And so he was preaching along, and the lady stood up and started out. He said, just a minute, ma'am. I said, nobody is to leave. And she said, yes, I understand that. And he said, well, do you have a legitimate reason for leaving? She said, yes. He said, what is it? She says, I'm sick. He didn't believe her. He said, what kind of sickness? She said, I'm homesick. Please open your Bible to the book of 2 Thessalonians. The book of 2 Thessalonians. And in this second chapter, we have a tremendous portion of the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and if you would follow along, please, as I read, begin with verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Will you please pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for this wonderful place. We thank you for this tremendous ministry. And dear Lord, we just pray that you will continue to bless it. And we pray that you will keep it on fire for you until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. We ask you now to bless the Word of God to our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this chapter is a great prophetic chapter in the Bible. And a teacher by the name of Edmund Hibbert said, no other portion of the prophetic scriptures covers precisely the same points of revelation here given. But the Apostle Paul has had a gift of saying much in a few words. And in this chapter, by the way, I want to think about this chapter today and tomorrow. But in this chapter, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a problem. And actually, in this epistle, he's dealing with a problem. If you'll turn over to the first chapter and look at verse 5, he says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. These people were restless. Now, in the second chapter here, it says in verse 2, the second chapter, verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Actually, this is the day of the Lord spoken of here. The Apostle Paul had taught these people about the day of the Lord. And evidently they misinterpreted a letter he had written, or someone else had come in and had taught things that caused them to think they were in the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord will be a horrible time. And if you're saved, of course, you won't be here. But the Apostle Paul sought to put them at rest. And only God can give rest. And when we understand Jesus as Lord and Savior, and when He becomes our Lord, then we have a great understanding. And as we come to know Him, we're to learn to rest in Him. But these people were not resting. And so He gives them the message that will clear all this up. And it's very, very simple. It's amazing how profound the Word of God is, but it's also amazing how simple the Word of God is, how we can understand it. Now, in this chapter that we have here, in verses 1 and 2, we have encouragement. And I want to talk to you about encouragement in a dark day. I've lived a long time, and I'm thankful the Lord has let me live this long. But these are dark days. If you picked up the paper today, you know they are dark days. And we need encouragement. And this scripture here can be a great encouragement to you and to me today. And so in verses 1 through 7, we see the encouragement that is given here. In verses 8 through 12, we have enlightenment as to how the day of the Lord will be and what will happen during that time. And then in verses 13 through 17, we have establishment. And this is what the Lord has for us here. So the Apostle Paul is giving them encouragement. And he says that the day of the Lord has not come. And when the day of the Lord comes, it will be a time of unbelievable judgment. Well, since it is not the day of the Lord, what day is it? What is this time that we're living in? Thank you for asking that question to me, and I want to answer it. If you will, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, Paul is writing here, and he is telling these people at Corinth what day it is. And believe me, it helps to know what day you're living in. These people were troubled because they thought they were living in the day of the Lord, which was the time of judgment. But here the Apostle Paul makes it clear the day in which we live. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. But the Apostle Paul was finding out that he was being judged by men. And he says in verse 4, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God." Then is the time that we look forward to, because man will be in his rightful position. But man is trying to run this world now, and it just won't work. Nebuchadnezzar thought he could run the world. But in the fourth chapter, we see that the Lord shows him the end of that era. And the vision showed that he was going to be like an animal. And quite frankly, we're seeing much of that today. People are acting more like animals and acting like they're a god than they are acting like a man. It's a horrible time. Now, I'm not here to discourage you today. I just believe that what I'm saying will point you to the fact that we need God to rule this world. And the day of the Lord will begin when judgment comes, when the tribulation period comes, and then through the millennial period, and then at the end when this old world is burned up. This world rejected the Savior. This world turned its back upon God. And how very, very sad that is. But isn't it a shame when children are afraid to go to school? Isn't it a shame when a person's afraid to go to work? But it's because we've looked to man. It's because we're looking not at God, but looking at what He created. And there are those today who think they know what the world needs. They're in places of leadership. But what we need is Almighty God. What we need is to be under the leadership of the Spirit of God and under the control of God. But man does not understand that. And you think of this tremendous ministry here. And Brother Wood was telling me about the great things that are happening in your other means of teaching the Word of God. That's all great and that's wonderful. But man doesn't understand that. And Larry King doesn't understand that. He doesn't know what's going on here. This is a work of God. It's not the work of man. Dr. Bob Jones is a man of God, and God works through him. He's an instrument. All of us who are saved are the instruments of God, and God works through us. Man cannot accept that. Man just cannot believe that. But it's so wonderful that we can serve God here and live that life that He came to give us, which is an abundant life. But what's happening to people today? Well, it's amazing what's happening. Because we see that children are taught that they can do whatever they want to do. And little fella goes to school, and he's told that he doesn't even have to obey his parents. And so he becomes independently minded. And as he gets older and older, he does what he wants to do. When it comes to buying clothes, he buys the clothes he wants to buy. And I don't know what you call these things that some of these young fellas are buying and wearing. I don't think you could call them slacks. But it's absolutely amazing. Some of those fellas have to have faith. I saw a fellow the other day, he had a concoction. I don't know how in the world he had them. As low as he could get them, But he didn't even have a belt on and they didn't move. I said, uh-huh, he's got something special, some special way of that. But he's told that's what he's supposed to do. You do whatever you want to do. And then that young fella gets in an automobile and he says, well, I'm going to drive as fast as I want to drive. And then he looks in the rearview mirror and he sees something that looks like a blue light special. And somebody tells him he can't do that. He can't do that. It's sad today. Listen, if we don't understand that God made us and that God created us and that God wants to walk with us, we're in a horrible position. I can't imagine what it would be like. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This is what the Bible says. And sometimes I'm amazed at the way God moves in my life and shows me what He wants me to do. It's absolutely wonderful. But some people just don't understand that. They don't know how God moves and how God works in the lives of people. And so these young people are taught, do what you want to do. And when it comes time to graduate, this is a special time and you just need to just blow the roof off, just have a great time. 12 years you've labored to graduate. We had a sad situation in our town last year. It was the very day of graduation. And these young people, we have a bypass around Raleigh. It's not all the way around yet. But it's a good road. And these young people got on that road. And they were driving just about as fast as that automobile would go. And they lost control of it. And they ran into a metal light post. The car came apart. And one fellow was driving on the highway and it came right by him. He wondered if it was an automobile, but the other part was up the way. And those children were killed. They thought that they just had to have a good time. And of course, to do that, you have to drink, you know. And that's what they were doing. That is so sad, but it's unnecessary. Again, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Jesus Christ came in order that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But this is the day of man. But how wonderful it is that we can understand that we're a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can understand that we are to live for Him. We're to do what He wants us to do. Isn't it amazing how you can just give up your own life and then find a wonderful life? Can you say amen to that? Let me repeat it. Isn't it wonderful that we have an abundant life and that we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, it's tremendous. It's wonderful. I was just talking to Brother Bob and telling him how that the Lord's opening doors for me to preach and I'm going here. It's just wonderful. But an old man is not supposed to be happy. He's not supposed to be excited. But brother, I'm excited and the reason is because I have found fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He's met my every need. He bears my burdens. He puts a song in my heart. And I know when it's over with down here, it's just beginning. It's going to be better over on the other side. So here we are going in an opposite direction of the world. People thinking we're crazy and they're the ones who are having problems. I won't say they're crazy. But they're the ones who are having the problems. This is the time of man. This is man's heyday, we could even say. All right, if you would now go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he says in verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, let me say this, that we have reasons for believing what we believe about the second coming of Jesus Christ. They're taught in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, and of course, I don't have a lot of time, but the Apostle Paul had to study the book of Joel. The book of Joel is a tremendous book. And here in the book of Joel, we see what the day of the Lord really is. It's a time of judgment. As a matter of fact, if you would, just turn over there to the book of Joel for a moment. The book of Joel. And if you look at verse 15, it says of chapter 1, verse 15 of chapter 1, "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." This world is headed for destruction. And the Lord is not going to put up with the day of man forever. No, He's not. God is a patient God. Oh, He's a great God. But He is a patient God. And He's patient with this world. But listen, folks, there's coming a time when that's going to change. He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a loving God. He's a patient God. I wonder sometimes, you know, how God really withholds His hand of judgment upon America, how we've turned our back upon Him. But know this. Know this, that judgment is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. It had not come for this church at Thessalonica, but the day of the Lord is definitely coming. And Joel tells us that it's a day of destruction. It's going to be a terrible time. I remember when I was in junior high school, I had a friend by the name of George Pierce. I was in grammar school with him. I was in junior high school with him. And I knew he was a strong young fellow. And one day we had had lunch and we were standing outside the school building, outside the school building, and some fellas who loved to fight came circling around the building, and the leader of the gang walked right up to George. And he said, "George, I understand that you call me a name." And George said, "No, I haven't called you a name." And he said, "Well, I understand you did. As a matter of fact, my friend said you did." And George said, "Well, I haven't called you a bad name." George was always a very calm, easygoing fellow. And so the fellow said, "Well, you're saying that my friend is a liar." George said, "No, no, I'm not saying that your friend is a liar. But I haven't called you a name." But I noticed that George was getting a little bit concerned, and it was obvious from right here. And back in those days, men wore watches. Excuse me. Men carried watches. Used to have a pocket watch. pocket watch. They used to have pockets in the trousers for watches. And evidently, George's father had bought a new watch for himself and given George the old one, because boys didn't have watches like that. But George had his watch in his pocket. It had a chain, went around it, and into his regular pocket. And so he reached and he got that watch. And of all people, me to be standing there, he said, "Here, Gene, hold this watch." And I said, "Sure, George, I'll be glad to hold your watch." And he just stepped forward, and the other fellow's name was Gordon, grabbed him right in the chest, put him down on the ground, and just pushed his head down in the ground, tried to hit him, but Gordon was holding his hands. But finally Gordon says, "Okay, I quit, I quit, I quit." One of these days, God is going to say, "It's enough." And God's anger, He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That should speak to me. That should speak to you. Listen, the time is short. Jesus is coming soon. The signs of His coming multiply before our eyes. And I'm sure that you have loved ones and friends who are unsaved. And you're concerned for them. Oh, may God help us to reap the harvest. May God help us to have a burden because the day of the Lord is coming. It will be a horrible time. In this first chapter of Joel, by the way, if you would do me a favor, between now and tomorrow, would you read the book of Joel? Three chapters. Would you read it, please? The book of Joel. In the first chapter, we read about the locust coming. And you know, you say, a locust? Yeah, what's a locust? A locust is a very destructive, whatever you call them, an insect. Very destructive. And he tells in this first chapter how they came in his day and how they actually took the bark off of the trees. And he was concerned and he cried out to the people for revival. I believe God is crying out to you and to me for revival. Now when we say revival, you say, oh, that means you have a meeting and you have a preacher. No. Listen, it's the start in the heart of the individual. Now, you cannot cause a person sitting next to you to want a revival in his heart. But I tell you what you can do. You can say, oh God, in my heart, I want revival. I want to be concerned about this world that's headed for hell. I want to make a difference. And folks, it's time that we do that because the judgment of God is coming upon this world. And the Bible says, you are the light of the world and people are in darkness. They need to hear about Jesus. And this is one of the greatest things that you can ever do, is to point somebody to Jesus. You can do that. You can do that. You can make a difference. Now, as I said, I've been in the ministry for many, many years. And just recently, I went back to one of the churches that I pastored. They celebrated their 100th anniversary. And you know what? It was so sweet. The fellowship was tremendous. But there were people there that I had the joy and the privilege of winning to Jesus. And I saw their children. Some of them had grandchildren. And Brother Wood, here's what I said. I said, I'm so glad I decided to go see that person's father and mother and tell them about Jesus. I'm so glad I went that day down that road and told that person how to be saved, because there I was seeing the fruit of that. Oh, what a great opportunity we have. You can't tell me that people in this old world are satisfied. You know why they're acting like they are? It's because they don't have any real reason for living. They don't. But we can tell them what life is all about. Can you say amen to that? Give me a good amen. Amen. Yes. We can tell them. It'll make all the difference in the world, in their lives. You and I have the message they need. May God help us to give that message out. May we bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. The entrance of Thy Word giveth light. This world is in darkness. Dear Father in heaven, help us to get the message out. Thank you for this multitude of young people here today. God bless them and help them to realize that they can be a witness for you. Help them to realize that they are saved to serve and that you've chosen us all to bring forth fruit for the glory of God. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Gene Payne, pastor of Friendship Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. Today's message is also available on the Internet at WMUU.com. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.